I invite you to take your Bibles to begin our early service to Matthew chapter 27. I will be reading from here. We'll be looking at a few verses from 1 Corinthians, the great resurrection, chapter 15. We'll begin in Matthew 27 and verse 57. I'll read into chapter 28. Matthew 27 and verse 57. When the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered, and when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth. And he laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock, and he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulchre. Now the next day that followed, the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, "Sir, we remember that that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, 'After 3 days I will rise again.' Command, therefore, that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, 'He is risen from the dead,' so that last error shall be worse than the first." Pilate said unto them, "Ye have a watch. Go your way. Make it as sure as ye can." So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, and the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There ye shall see him. Lo, I have told you." And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "All hail." And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Heavenly Father, this is a wonderful historical account of what took place. This is true history. It is the hope of mankind that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again, just like the Bible says. The witnesses attest to. Your scripture proclaims from beginning to end. We thank you for loving us so much that you sent your only begotten Son into the world to die in our place, to taste death for every man, to be victorious, and to come out of the grave, the resurrected Savior, the first of a new kind, those in Christ to be resurrected yet. We rejoice with thankful hearts on this Easter Sunday. Please lead us in the verses that we look at this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to draw your attention now to 1 Corinthians 15, the great resurrection chapter, and look at a couple of specific statements that were made beginning at verse 20. First Corinthians 15, verse 20. "But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming. We recognize verse 22 from Genesis 3, in Adam all die. Romans 5:12, that's where death and punishment came from when sin entered the world by Adam. In Adam all die. To be an Adam is to be human. It's to be a person. It's to descend from Adam. In Adam all die. Even so in Christ shall all be made alive. And that is the life that Christ gives us. In Adam we die. In Christ we are brought to spiritual life. Those in Adam, everybody, those in Christ, those who have repented and come in faith and trust in the Lord, in faith believing. We see the word first fruits in verse 20 and verse 23. Now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Verse 23, but every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits. Afterward, they that are Christ's at his coming. The first fruits. In Hebrew practice, first fruits were offerings made to God from the harvest to express submission, dependence, and thankfulness. The first sheaf of grain served a dual purpose. It came first chronologically, but more importantly, it functioned as a pledge or guarantee of the entire harvest to follow. During the Jewish feast of first fruits, the initial sheaf was presented as a heave offering and wave offering, dedicating the whole harvest to God. A wave offering to the Lord as ruler of the earth, a heave offering to the Lord as ruler of heaven. The heave is the lifted up offering, and the wave is a waved offering. It is the first fruits of the harvest. It expresses their offerings made to God from the harvest to express submission to God, dependence upon God, and thankfulness for God. We see those all in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. His trust in the Father to come and to fulfill the work that he was given to do, to die on the cross, to be buried, and then great resurrection morning. To those who follow the first fruits, we express our submission to God, our dependence upon him, and our thankfulness for him in all that he does. The dual purpose, it was first as the recognition of an offering of submission, dependence, and thankfulness, but it was also a pledge or guarantee of the entire harvest to follow. The resurrection of Jesus Christ guarantees the resurrection of believers to eternal life in the presence of God. Jesus is the first fruits. As a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, you're part of the harvest. The harvest will follow the first fruit, an offering to God, recognizing the harvest to come of people who have come to the Lord. God worked in their heart, drew them to him. They humbled themselves and repented and turned from sin and were born again by faith and trust in Christ. New life in Christ. That's the harvest. That's the first fruits of the harvest of redeemers. The redeemed ones. His resurrection is the guarantee of your resurrection as a believer. There's much about death that is mysterious, sometimes frightful, but we have the first fruits who went before us and tasted death for all of us. Victorious, and the victory is given to the believer. The first fruits of them that slept, it's speaking of deceased believers sleeping. It's death, it's sleep. Not soul sleep, but the body at rest, the soul in the presence of the Lord, and the body awaiting the great resurrection day. Of them that slept. We see that terminology in 1 Thessalonians 4, the great catching away chapter. For if you believe that Jesus died and rose again, verse 14 of 1 Thessalonians 4, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Believers that have died, they will be resurrected. We would desire and we would look to the day when the trump of God would sound and the dead in Christ would rise first, and then we which are alive and remain will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. We would like to be part of those of that we which were alive and remain. And that may or may not be. That's in God's hands. It's in God's perfect timing. And I think we would all admit we wouldn't want it anywhere else. When a believer dies, their soul goes into the presence of the Lord in a temporary robes of righteousness, some kind of temporary housing, if you will, for the soul, because we're not disembodied spirits floating around the clouds plucking harps. We're in the presence of God. Our body is in the ground, and the resurrection is coming. People say, well, that's impossible. Jesus rose. So we know it's going to happen. Because our resurrection is based in His resurrection. The tomb was empty that morning because Jesus got up and walked out. The first of a new kind, never to die again. The tomb wasn't empty because the disciples stole the body or the body had just kind of fainted, but Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. He was resurrected. Not simply brought back to life. There were times in the Bible where people were brought back to life. Lazarus come forth, and he did. And later he died again. You think, well, it would have been amazing to be resurrected from the grave, brought out of the grave, you know, brought back to life, but I don't know if it'd be too good to die twice, but he did that. You see, Jesus didn't just resurrect as someone had in the Bible prior, when Jesus raised, or even the Old Testament raising, those people all died. Jesus came not back to life, but he came forth in new life, the life that he gives us. He is the Redeemer, the Messiah. He's this same Jesus, but now victorious over sin and death and hell. He is still the God-man, the eternal God-man. God and man. defeating death. Not just a reversal temporarily, but a defeat. He is the first fruits. I want to show you some other things about him as the first. Turn with me to Acts 26. Acts chapter 26. Go with me, please, to verse 22. Acts 26, verse 22. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. The first to rise from the dead. Lazarus come forth, that was different. The widow's son at Nain, that was different. The Old Testament, that was different. Because none of them, though they were brought back to life, none of them defeated death. They got a reprieve. Jesus defeated it. That he should be the first that should rise from the dead. The first fruits of them which slept. The first of a new kind, a new rank, a new order. First that should rise from the dead. Colossians chapter 1. And verse 18. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. The first to rise from the dead, the firstborn from the dead. This is a new order. This is life eternal. This is Christ. The first and only one to conquer death. And he's the firstborn in this new order, this new life, this resurrected Savior, the firstborn from the dead. We're not told in the Bible that he's the only one born from the dead, but the firstborn means more to come. That's the believer. More will come, more will follow in this great victory over death. And as he defeated death, he brought that victory to mankind, to whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He is the first one and the only one to conquer death. We, in him, death is conquered, not because we've conquered it, but because he's conquered it. And our faith and trust is in him, and we're born again. Revelation chapter 1. And verse 5. I'll read verse 4. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come. They were looking for the Lord's return. He is, was, and yet to come. And from the seven spirits which are before the thrones, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead. And the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. He is the anointed one. He is God in flesh, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, Redeemer, the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead. Only him. No one else. But he did it. In that he made atonement for our sin, and in that atonement he shed his blood and gave his life. It is finished. He bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The body was lifeless. His soul was in paradise. His body was cared for and placed in that tomb, which was a temporary resting place. When God calls us home, if he calls us home through death's door, our soul will go to heaven to be with the Lord and the redeemed of the ages and loved ones that have gone on before us. Our bodies will go in the grave as a temporary dwelling place. The resurrection day is coming. He is the origin and the Prince of Life. He is life. Our life is in him. He is the leader. He is the head. And he is followed by others. Every born again one. He is an earnest and certain assurance for believers. The resurrection is coming. You have God's word on it. All four Gospels record the fact of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and it was the basis of the message of the apostles and throughout the church age. One author states this: without the resurrection, the cross is robbed of its meaning. It becomes a tragic error, a miscarriage of justice, a mere martyrdom. Jesus becomes only a man with lofty ideals and illusions of grandeur. But by the resurrection, God with one stroke declared it all true. It's all true. Everybody believes something. You're gathered here today, and I hope that your faith and trust is in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you believe God. You take him at his word, and that affects your life. You take him at his word and act accordingly. You live as a redeemed child of his. Thankful for the finished work of Christ upon the cross. The death, the burial, the resurrection, the ascension into heaven, and the promise to return. Since the early days of the church age, God's people have been looking for the return of the Lord Jesus. And he is coming. We say, when? And why so long? Why not now? And God says, I'm taking care of everything. When God calls us home, it'll be the exact right time. When that trump sounds and the believers are taken out of the world, it'll be the exact right time for that to happen. I trust that your faith and trust and belief is in the Lord Jesus Christ as the only Savior from sin. And you've come to him in repentance and faith and are born again. If not, please do, to know peace with God that never ends. What we read this morning, what we will look at later, these are facts. This is truth. It is from God. Death is hard. It's a very difficult thing. If that were the end, we would be of all men most miserable. But as painful and as hard as death is, it's not the end. To the believer, it's the entrance into the presence of the Lord, and it's the longing for the resurrection. The resurrection of those that sleep in Christ. Because he died, he went to the grave, and he came forth in a new order and new kind of person. And that is for us. That though we may die physically, the believer never dies spiritually. And though we die physically, our bodies in the grave, our souls with the Lord, we're never separated from the love of God. We're never separated from the presence of God. And that resurrection day is coming. I want to close with a reading. We'll do this instead of our final hymn. I'd like to read it in 1 Peter as we close our service. 1 Peter chapter 3, chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. I'd like to read verse 3, 4, and 5 to close our morning early service. 1 Peter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We thank the Lord for the power of the Scriptures. We thank the Lord for truth in a world of chaos and confusion. There is truth, and God has given it to us, and we are thankful. In just a moment, I will pray. We'll head downstairs, about 20 minutes till breakfast, so you can sit and visit, get some coffee, and we'll plan on 9:30. We will have prayer, and we'll have a time of breakfast together. Father, thank you for this service, that is not in our normal schedule. Thank you for those that came at 8:30. We rejoice in Christ, the triumphant resurrection, the victory is his, and he gives it to us. We rejoice with thankful hearts, and we continue to seek your guidance moment by moment, step by step, day by day. Thank you again for those gathered here, for the service we've had in the morning before us. In Jesus' name, amen.